Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Screen Strong Families podcast, bringing you the best solutions for parents who are serious about reducing screen time in their home. Today, we have a special guest with us to talk about the issues of activities, and especially now around the Christmas season, we have all our kids coming home, and you know, most of them have actually already been home, but we have a house full of kids who want to just plug into their screens, and we need to think of some different activities for our kids to do. So next week, we're going to be talking about gifts, and this week, we are going to tackle this whole issue of what to do with your kids when they are bored, and they keep telling you there's nothing to do. And our special guest today is Sue DeCaro. Welcome, Sue.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
So Sue is a coach and an educator, and we are so excited to hear all of your tips and ideas on how to fill our kids' free time with activities that are not screen related. So Sue, give us a little bit of background on you and your bio and what your expertise is.
Sure. Absolutely. So I'm a certified life and parent coach. I'm an educator, writer, motivational speaker. I'm really focused on helping people to live a conscious life, whether it be parenting or just, you know, generally a conscious life, a much more aware life of what it is we're doing and how we're doing it. As a coach, I support parents and families worldwide just to navigate life's daily challenges, which, of course, we're all facing a big time now. And at the same time, I like to integrate education. I like to integrate consciousness and coaching throughout everything that I do to help people grow and thrive.
Good.
So that's a little bit about me.
Well, great. Well, I know last time we talked, we were chatting about the practical issue of what to do with kids when, you know, I know that we read all this stuff, we hear all this stuff about screens, and, you know, I'm a mom of four. I totally can relate to the parent who is really frustrated. Our life is moving so fast now. Everything is so fast paced. And it's very, very hard to navigate and figure out, how do I take these screens away? How do I take these leisure and entertainment screens away and replace all this time with something a little more productive? It's a challenge. It is very hard because it's one of these things that you read about, you hear about, you listen to podcasts, but then when you come home, it's so hard to apply it. I just reach out to these parents. I know your pain. I know what it's like when you've got four kids running around the house and you're trying to make dinner or you're trying to work or whatever. And the easiest thing in the world is just to pull out that iPad or that TV or that video game, because we know that's going to take care of all of their free time. And so I want to talk today about, I just want to talk about what are some real things, because we hear these kind of crazy things sometime, you know, pie in the sky things like, oh, get your kids to play a board game. And I mean, I know that that's a wonderful thing. And the more we do that in our home, the more fun it is. But some things just aren't as practical. So let's talk about some activities that kids can do. And why don't we start with little kids first? And then we're going to work through and talk about teenagers. But let's start with maybe, you know, even toddlers and elementary age kids. What can kids do? What are some things they can do around the house? You know, of course, I always want to send them outside. That's always my rule. But what are some things they can do around the house and what I call the nooks and crannies of your day that are typically filled with gaming or phone time? Okay, let's talk about a couple things.
Sure. You know, I think first of all, when you're coming to your toddler or your, you know, young child or your teen, be conscious of what your screen time looks like. Be conscious of your media habits, because it's very difficult, I think, in today's age to come to our kids with these ideas of, you know, no media time, or we have to, you know, look at activities in a different way, but we're sitting there with our phone. Mm-hmm. So check in with yourself first, because I think that's one of the big things, to see how you are showing up in front of your children. And toddlers, they pick up on it too. So it's really important. But one of the things that was my favorite when my kids were little, and I think it was theirs too, because we seem to do it a lot, is making forts, is the simple art of taking blankets and pillows and things that you already have and taking a room and creating a fort out of that room.
Yeah.
And going underneath, I can still visualize this in my kids', you know, childhood and my parenting, that we love to be under the fort. We took snacks under there, books under there, and really could make fun times in different rooms, move it around. So, you know, it's a free activity, but it's one that can last quite a while in the life of a child.
Yeah. And it's okay, mom, and dad, and I'll say mom too. I mean, I'll get more specific here with mom. It's okay for your kids to kind of tear up the den a little bit, you know, it's just going to get messy and that's okay. And then go in the linen closet and pull down the blankets and let them get the beach towels out. Let them get the sheets out. I know those sheets are hard to fold, but go ahead and let them get this stuff out and move the chairs around and kind of help. Sometimes we have to help them start it, perhaps maybe the first time. And then it might feel kind of weird and awkward, like, I don't remember how to do this. But once you kind of get it started, then they'll take off with their creativity. And I love that idea of allowing them to gather up some magazines and some books and some drawing supplies and take it in their fort. Everything is more fun in a fort. And that is for sure. And I want to
flashlights too.
Flashlights.
I was back in the fort because it really is hours of fun.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, let's also talk about the fort outside because the indoor forts are fabulous. But I remember as soon as you said that, Sue, I have this memory of growing up in Florida. So the weather was usually nice. And I think we lived outside 12 months a year. But we had these really cool trees in our backyard that grew kind of low to the ground. And so we had a ground level fort in the backyard. We had a fort in our avocado tree. Of course, that was fabulous. It was a two-story fort that my brother and I built. But my girlfriend and I would go into this little treed area, and we would bring all our dolls. And I remember being so little, and the world seemed so big and fascinating. And we would actually set up like camps and stuff, you know, like a dollhouse kind of situation out in the yard, you know, in our fort. We'd bring all our Barbies out there. And I just, as soon as you said that, I just had that memory just pop in my head. It's such a sweet childhood memory. And I just spent hours and hours and hours playing house with the Barbies in the fort, in the dirt. You know, we dug a little swimming pool in the dirt, you know, everything was outside, but it was a fort. And it was, I think every child needs a space to kind of call their own. And I know boys, especially love to make their forts as, smelly as possible. One of my friends, her son made a fort and he, would also fish. And so he would keep dead fish in his fort outside. And he said that was to keep all the girls out.
Gotcha.
But a fort is a great idea and that costs nothing.
Nothing.
Right.
The other thing I wanted to share, which is again, you know, a visual in my own mind from my kids' childhood and my own childhood is, you know, Legos can be used for so many things, not just building whatever it is they tell you on the package, but we used to use Legos in our upstairs home. Now, this is from my childhood and create roads, airports. You know, we took the whole upstairs. It wasn't a huge house, but all through the hallway and into different bedrooms were different arenas. You know, the airport was in one place, the gas station was in the other place. I'm sure we had restaurants and whatnot where we were creatively building these things and moving cars, whatever kind of car we had at that time. And this is another way that, yes, the children are going to take over the hallway or the bedrooms, but it can be hours of play and opportunity for them to really be creative and engage in their own way of connecting with the Legos and creating a game that works for them. And so this is where our kids grow too, is allowing them the opportunity to, by planting a seed perhaps and saying, hey, have you ever thought of, you know, creating a village upstairs or a village in, you know, these two areas where you can really space out and look at all the things that you see outside of the house and create them internally. So that's another, you know, really powerful idea that, again, we all probably have some Legos for our little ones, right, or something like Legos and cars.
Right. And just having the right supplies around. And I'm really big on not keeping everything out all the time, but pulling boxes of things out periodically so they're new again. And, you know, there may be a special box of Lego figures, for example. Someone mentioned on our Facebook group, I think it was yesterday or today, about playing with figurines. And I remember so clearly the baseball guys, the little figurines that my boys had, and they would do pretend baseball games all the time.
That's just a huge imagination building activity.
And the book Play by Stuart Brown, I don't know if you've ever seen that book, but I love that book because it finally, when I read that book early in my video game free home days, when we were taking video games out and social media out for our kids, I read the book Play by Stuart Brown. It changed my whole thinking around the importance of play. And in his book, he talks about how, you know, even animals play. They have to play for survival. This is a survival mechanism that we all have. And he says that the minute you stop playing is the minute you start dying. And I really believe that. And he breaks down all the neuro benefits of play, you know, especially for kids. So that's a great read. You just reminded me of that. An idea that my kids reminded me of just a few weeks ago. We were just at dinner and just chatting. We have dinner every night. That's a big deal in our family. You know, not only are the statistics very clear on the benefits of having family dinner, which is a wonderful activity, by the way, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, but it's also one of our most fun things that we do. So we were eating dinner the other night, and one of the kids brought up this memory that they had, and I didn't ask them, like, oh, what was your best memory? They just said, all of a sudden, it popped in their head, and they were looking at their older sister, and they said, Melissa, do you remember when you made a scavenger hunt for us? And I didn't even remember this, but they said about maybe 8 or 9 years old, and their big sister went around the house and left little notes and little strategy, you know, go here, here's the clue, and then you go here and get the next note, and go here and get the next note. And it took them upstairs and downstairs and in the basement and outside, and it took them all around, and she kept leaving these notes. And it ended up in her room with a pack of gum. That was their prize. And it was so funny listening to them talk about this. Their little faces just lit up, and they were like, that was the most fun memory. And I'm thinking, wow, that didn't cost anything. That was not a trip to Disney World.
No, but it's on their highlight reel. And we don't realize what's on their highlight reel. But, you know, I love the scavenger hunts. And every year at the holidays when my kids were little, and when I was a child, I carried the tradition forward. My parents and I also did scavenger hunts for our kids. Nothing major, but it kept them very busy and interested and excited, and kind of created a team concept with the kids trying to find each child's little package. And it's free, except for the little package. So it's free entertainment. You have to be creative. And I think this is another big piece of the holidays that we have to look at, is the creative side that we can bring to life for our children, separate from the electronics and the screens. And when you were talking about family mealtime, I work with a lot of families where the kids are perhaps picky or push back on whatever it is the parents are serving. And, you know, perhaps the listeners have some of these issues as well. And one of the things that can also be extremely enjoyable around the holidays, and maybe even create gifts for mealtime, is the cooking together, or even based on your child's age, the child creating the meal. And so oftentimes with the families that I work with, we look at the meal planning, the grocery shopping, and the serving, all the child's, you know, child-led, basically.
Yes.
So if the child is old enough, or even if they're young and they can participate in doing it with you, having them feel empowered to create the meal with you for the family and see it from start to finish is a huge opportunity for the child to learn, for them to grow, to have a beautiful activity, and again, bring, you know, the family together. And you can take turns. You can rotate which child plans the meal. A lot less stress for the parent.
Right. Well, you know, just when you said that, it just brings up this huge memory for me back when one of my boys was in fifth grade. He wanted to make all the sides for Thanksgiving. And that was the, you know, my grandmother's sweet potato recipe, her dressing recipe, the Jell-O salad. I mean, there were like four things. And he started the day before, and he was just super motivated to do this. And, you know, I think in my previous life with my older kids, you know, with my first, you know, son, with my oldest, I didn't think he could do that. But as you have children, as you get more experience, and as you start to see, wow, their hands do work, and they actually can hold a mixer, you know, and they can read, so they can follow directions. So we have a family recipe book. I put it out on the counter. I made sure, of course, we had the ingredients, and he started the day before Thanksgiving, and he did make all the sides that year. Wow. And but Sue, what's so fascinating is when dinner was ready, we were all in the den, and Andrew comes in and he says, okay, everybody, you know, and he gets everybody's attention. And he says, I have all, you know, the sides ready for Thanksgiving dinner. And he turned to me and he said, Mom, I feel so accomplished. And I just got so excited. I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is why we do this, because they need to have this purpose. And he was driven by this purpose. And he said it out loud. He said, I feel so accomplished. And I'm thinking, yes, that's exactly what we're after. We want our kids to do activities where they play, but also where they feel accomplished. And I'm not saying that they have to go, you know, do hard things all the time, but I do think they need to be challenged. And I think even building a fort, they feel accomplished. They get it done. They have nothing, and then they have something, and they've created something. That feeling of accomplishment is what we're missing on the screen, because every child knows it is meaningless. That you may win a battle, but what have you really done? You have not accomplished anything. So when Andrew made all those sides and he walked in and said that, it couldn't have been more priceless for me. It was such a moment for me to understand, yes, this is what he needs. This is what all our kids need. So he was only in the fifth grade when he did that. And so to this day, he doesn't make all of them, but I mean, he could, but we all work together. And I think another really cool thing that you kind of stirred in my thoughts is the idea that every child has a certain holiday recipe that they are responsible for. You know, now we call it Andrew's sweet potato casserole because he loves that. And then Evan has certain things that he makes, and Melissa has certain things that she makes. And my oldest son now has certain things. So it makes it a lot more fun.
Yeah. And I think it's a beautiful story. It just fills my heart to hear, you know, that your son shared that, because I think we don't give our kids, you know, we typically don't give our kids that opportunity to step into the world of accomplishing something that we're just used to doing. We just step into the kitchen, we prepare the meal, whatever it might be, and serve it on the table. And just because they're not asking doesn't mean they don't have any interest.
No, this is where, you know, parents have to be the coach and they have to think ahead. I mean, to interrupt you, you have to take the lead.
Absolutely. Yeah. And empower the child. Would you be interested in cooking a meal? Would you be interested in helping me cook a meal? And then this also leads to gifts. It can lead to an apron, you know, a cooking utensil.
Yes.
It can lead to cooking books, or you can put something together, like you said, of the favorite holiday recipes. But empowering our children to feel that sense of accomplishment is an enormous gift that we can give them. And I think to take it a step further, even outside the activity, is the opportunity for us to ask. For example, what did it feel like for you to, you know, if he hadn't shared his feelings of accomplishment, to create all of these sides and serve them? Because our kids need to step into the world of owning this. If they've been on screens all day long or for most of their, you know, young life and we're just shifting, or, you know, perhaps we've been shifting for a period of time away from the screens, we need to step into the arena where we ask them to own the feeling and to feel the feeling of this accomplishment, which many of our kids are not used to feeling.
So another feeling of accomplishment, now that we're getting our creative juices going here this morning, the day after Thanksgiving, one of the other boys took all the Christmas decorations out of the attic, and he is our Mr. Christmas kid. He loves Christmas, and he loves the decorations. He takes it very seriously. Mm. And so this is a great activity to turn over this decorating for Christmas to your kids. Not only is it going to make them feel accomplished, they will feel like they have a purpose, and you're training them to be a spouse one day that will pitch in and help. Because I don't want any of my kids to think that they live in a hotel where everything is done for them, right? Mm-hmm. So he got out all the boxes. And you know, honestly, Sue, this is not my favorite thing to do. It's a little bit overwhelming, the task of figuring out, you know, which lights work and where everything goes. And this year, you know, we couldn't find certain connectors for the outdoor lighted thing that we have. But this child took full responsibility and just went gangbusters. And I can honestly say that my house is 80% decorated now because that was just an incredible activity. And he's sort of owning that activity now. And I think that it's really cool to have certain activities in your home that are assigned, I guess, or that certain kids start to grow an affinity for and start to enjoy, and you let them do it. He always puts the nativity scene out. That's a big tradition in our home. So, you know, as far as assigning these types of activities and jobs to certain kids, I think that makes them feel very a part of your home. I think it helps with family attachment, even getting your little toddlers to help unload the dishwasher. You know, in the kitchen, let's go back a second, Sue, and finish up a few more ideas for these little ones and maybe under the age of, you know, 10 and under, some other activities. And I do think one of them is, you know, in our house, we have dishes that are clean and dirty all the time, right? So we're having to unload dishwashers all the time. And I think that's a great activity. And you may say, well, that's not really fun, Melanie. They'd rather be on their video game. But, you know, over time it does become fun because they are developing this purpose and they're accomplishing something. But what are some other activities? If you're a mom, you're wrapping presents, you're cleaning, you just need to hand over something for your kids to do to keep them busy for 30 minutes.
Well, first of all, I want to say that just because we think emptying the dishwasher is not fun doesn't mean our kids think that. And so we don't really know how they feel about all of these things that we do every day, and we, you know, kind of do them with our eyes closed almost, until we engage with them and offer them the opportunity. My kids used to clean bathrooms when they were little. They loved it until they realized, like, that's not really what people do, young people do, but it's a life skill. And so some of the other things that I love to suggest to families are create an arts and crafts arena. So we all have arts and crafts. I know I still have a ton of them, but they're not always present. And I've worked with a lot of families where the kids are, you know, quite addicted to tech, and there isn't something out visible, but their technology, and that's what they see first. And so creating an arts and crafts area, again, it's going to, you know, maybe create a little mess in your house, but some nook or corner where you can leave all of your things out visible for the kids to go to whenever they are, you know, quote unquote, bored. The same thing with puzzles. One of my kids at a young age loved puzzles, and I found that she was much more relaxed when there was a puzzle on the table and she could just go to it whenever she wanted and do it. It helped her get rid of some of the energy that she had inside of her body that tended to come out in negative ways had we not had this very relaxing puzzle activity and many other activities. So, you know, I think creating these areas to engage with your children, perhaps you go to the arts and crafts area so that your kids join you there. Perhaps you start to create something. I mean, my grandchild at 5 years old has said to me, I want you to join me. Now, she did say on a video to learn how to draw. Right. But she showed me this beautiful drawing that she learned to make that was taught to her through looking at a YouTube video. And she wanted me to join her there. So granted, that is, you know, tech, but we don't have to be on tech to join our children in this creative arena with clay, with whatever it is that interests them, not interests us.
About
our children in these spaces.
I love this idea so much. My head is just spinning with all these things that we do. But what you said about keeping the arts and crafts out and the puzzles out, I learned that trick many years ago, again, when we were converting our home from a clear, you know, video game haven to a game-free home. I learned that I was going to have to give up some of my HGTV feel to my den, as if I ever had any of that going on anyway. And I put a big card table in the den, and we always have a 1,000-piece puzzle on that card table. And it's big enough to where you can have the pieces out, you can work on it. We have stools around it, and everybody just filters by. We have friends that come in, they'll sit down, work on the puzzle. Believe it or not, I even had a handyman one time working on something. He came over and worked on the puzzle too for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But at Christmas, what I did right over Thanksgiving, and I have my puzzle and I'm ready to put my Christmas puzzle out. We have different Christmas puzzles, but I'm holding off briefly because I have made that table a craft table. And what we have now set up, and my youngest is 16 now. So, I mean, this isn't just for little kids, but we have it set up now and we are making ornaments. And this year, the theme of the ornaments are red, white, and blue ornaments. And so the boys are painting. They are, you know, we have just different glass, you know, and then also we have some red ornaments. And there, I have the paints out. I have one or two little samples of some things I did and found on Pinterest. And then they're just picking it up and working on it. And my daughter's doing it. It is fabulous to have this out for them to create some new ornaments. I think making ornaments this time of year is a wonderful craft project. And, you know, you can go find a million things to do in that whole area. But the key is keeping it out and not putting it away.
Absolutely.
The only thing you want to put away is you want to box up those video games and put them way up in the attic or just remove them altogether.
And the remote controls and all of that stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
And if we can engage with our kids to empower them to be part of the creative arena. So, for example, telling your kids you want to create this beautiful arts and crafts space, not necessarily because you want them to sit in the space. You know, if they see you have an agenda, mm-hmm. for them to keep them busy and occupied doing something creative, they might not be as interested. But if you talk about it from your own perspective, I would love to create an arts and crafts space or arena where, you know, we have everything out that we can just go to when we feel like doing something, and have that creative arena, have them help you create it with the things that they love. Depending on their age, they can go on Pinterest or, you know, with you, or go to Michael's or whatever the case might be and find the things that they would be interested in doing to create a space that works for them. And you can shift it periodically with new things or different things so that it keeps their attention. But when you have it out, it's very different than when someone has to go get it.
And you have to have it out, and it has to be in the place where the people are, where you live. It can't be in the dining room if you never go in the dining room. It really has to be either in your kitchen or in your den where everybody naturally congregates. You don't want your child, you know, to feel like they have to go isolate in their room or in a unused dining room area if that's not where you are. Now, if that's the only way that you can do it, that's fine. But put it right down in the middle of where all the action is. I think that's really the best advice for that. And it does get a little messy. And so, you know, you have to get over that. You may have to even use your coffee table, you know, put some things on your coffee table. I always have markers on my kitchen table in the middle of my kitchen eating table. We have little things that the kids make, but I have a little container with markers and paper, because even when they're just coming in to just talk to me about school or whatever, sometimes they just want to doodle and draw. And I learned that trick really early too, that you have to keep things out. So do you have anything else for the young age? And then we'll drop over to the bigger kids.
You know, I think for young kids, storytelling can be very powerful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Family reading nooks can be very powerful. But, you know, storytelling, kids at young ages, I believe, and even into their teens, like to hear stories from our childhood.
Oh, yeah.
And as well as from theirs, you know, the day of their birth. And so, you know, having storytelling times or days, you know, where you sit around the fire and you just tell stories. Hey, who wants to tell a story today? Can really be connecting as a family.
And, you know, that just reminded me that if you really are at the end of your rope, mom or dad, and you really need this moment, you know, to just do something important and you need your kids to get entertained, put a family home, family movie on. Oh my goodness. For your kids to watch movies of them growing up, that is the funniest thing. Even if they're, you know, 7 or 8 years old, watching a movie of them when they were 3 is just hysterical to them. And so that's sort of a last resort, but that's a very fun thing to do with the whole family, of course, to go back and watch certain home movies that you've done.
And if you have them on, if you have them in pictures, you can actually have them converted. Or if you have them on a VHS tape, you can actually have them converted these days. So that's a great Christmas gift, is your childhood.
Yes. And you know, that also reminds me, I do a digital scrapbook every year of our family, of the different things we've done in our traditions and in our trips and different things that we do with the kids. And that, I will say, is when you're talking about storytelling, that is one of the top most exciting things my kids do, is sit on the couch and look at these scrapbooks. And I never realized how powerful that was. I like doing scrapbooks, so I just do it anyway. But to watch my boys pull these scrapbooks down and sit, you know, for a good amount of time and just look at this, it just does my heart good. And if you don't have a scrapbook, it's super easy. They're super easy to pull together these days on all these platforms that are available digitally. But get your photos off of your devices and get them on paper. The books are very inexpensive. It's something, even now, if we want to dovetail here into our older kids, it's something that our older kids can do. It's a very good hobby to make the family scrapbook, you know. And sure, if it's digital, then they do have to spend some time on the computer, but they're not going to get addicted to the scrapbook software. I can guarantee you that. That's mm-hmm. not an immersive activity. Before we leave the little kids, one last thing I want to say about that. If you have older kids in your house with your little kids, and even if there's just a few years difference, get the older siblings to entertain the younger kids. And, you know, with the Elf on the Shelf, for example, they can be in charge of that. Like we said just a minute ago about the scavenger hunt, the reading time, even the fort building, all these things, you can get the older sibling to help. And you don't want to make them feel like they're just the babysitter, but it helps their development as well. And then one of the biggest gifts you can give your child is the relationship they have with their siblings. That is something that you want to nurture kind of behind the scenes as you go. You want to do things that foster those relationships, because they will have those relationships, you know, rest of their life.
For sure.
So let's move on and talk a little bit about the older kids that are maybe 10 or 12 and older. You know, 13, 14, 15, if they're not playing video games, and scrolling on their social media, Sue, what can they do? What activities can they do besides that?
You know, I think this is a really important point with the older kids. We have to step into their world of interest. And oftentimes we're so focused on the education of our children and what they're learning that we miss out on what it is they're interested in learning about. And I've been talking to a lot of educational leaders lately because children are learning at home now with virtual schooling all over the world. And I think the thing that we've missed in the school setting, not to get off track here, but is the interest of the child, is the non-routine, structured, systematic approach to learning. So I share this because if we can tap into the subjects our kids would like to learn more about, we can create more opportunity, not online, but in a different way. So for example, maybe they're interested in space, maybe they're interested in science, maybe they're interested in studying more about the mind or, you know, the way our bodies work, whatever the case may be. These, or let's say it's some sport. Maybe they want to learn more about the sport. How did the sport actually come to be? When did it begin? And these are things that we can actually find books on. We used to have encyclopedias. Mm-hmm. I don't know if listeners can remember encyclopedias or new encyclopedias, but way back when. And there are ways, especially with the holidays coming, that we can actually find things that serve this purpose of helping them learn about what it is they're interested in, mm-hmm. not just what the system tells us they need to learn. And mm-hmm. I think that in many, many arenas, we're missing out on this. And this is a definite area that we can shift them from the screens and shift them into the subjects they like to, they would like to explore.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And the first thing that comes to my mind is if they're spending too much time on a screen, they were never going to discover what they even like. And this is right. why kids are getting so depressed. I mean, there's a number of reasons, but this is part of the reason why they're so depressed on their screens. It, for the moment, they feel like they're not depressed, but we know what happens with the dopamine. We know that once that dopamine deficit phase comes in when that screen is gone and they're at rock bottom, it's very depressing for them. But I think the other reason why they're so depressed is because, like I said a minute ago, there's no purpose in their game. And we're born as creative beings. We're born to create. And what you're just talking about right now is if they don't experience other things outside of their video game and their social media, they're not even going to know what's out there to like. We have to help structure this. And recently I talked to a mom with four children, and she's a physician and herself with four kids, and they're all in high school and grown now. And she said, if I had to do it again, if I had to redo the way I parented, she said, I would go back and provide more structure around their activities and their interest and their likes. She said, I think I would really structure their likes. And I knew what she meant, because without a structure, your kids are going to just crave that low effort, high reward activity of screen time. So we're not talking about being over controlling or helicoptering. We're talking about being a good coach and putting things in the pathway for them to choose, but putting the right things, putting the things that you think are healthy for them to choose. And so, you know, I absolutely love the fact that we've got to tap into the things they like, but we do have to figure that out. We have to help them figure that out. And they can't figure it out on a video game for sure.
No. And now's the time, no matter what your age, the age of your children is, now's the time to help them to discover who they truly are and what they really enjoy. Even at three, even at six,
right.
And, you know, definitely in the teenage years, because this is about them tapping into their authentic self and learning what makes them tick, what excites them, what do they love about their creative abilities. And boredom, as you mentioned at the beginning, is a key element
right.
in learning more about ourselves as creative human beings. One of the things that I have done with lots of parents who struggle with, you know, the increase in tech usage in their home is to work with whatever age child they have, and definitely do it with the teens, to look at the types of things that when I'm bored, for example, I'd like to go to. Mm-hmm. So you engage with your child in a non-boredom moment, perhaps at dinner time, where you create list for each child, or the child creates the list of things they would like to try out or try on mm-hmm. when they have that time of boredom. Some kids would love to sew their own clothes.
Right.
But unless we actually tap into what they might like to try, and it's not, what do you know you like? What would you like to try?
Yeah. And they need a little bit of a jump start, you know,
for sure.
Because we're not born with all these ideas. So you just need to expose them to things. And of course, music is a tremendous thing to spend your time doing. So regardless of how old your kids are, their brains are incredible right now. Mm-hmm. They can learn so many things. Get them a guitar, a piano. One of our best investments, of course, was our digital piano. Finally, we got a digital piano, and it's a big, regular, normal looking piano, but it's digital and it does so many things. And that was an incredible thing for our family, and our boys now just play all the time. Art is another thing that one of them takes a clay class. Who would have known? You know, we didn't know they were going to love all this stuff. But one of them in particular makes all his Christmas presents every year. He's still doing all this clay work. But unless we had started these lessons back when they were in, you know, fourth grade, we wouldn't have even known, and they wouldn't have known. Knitting, sewing, jewelry making, all these creative craft type things where, you know, crocheting, where they can have a beginning and an end. They can make a quilt. They can crochet a quilt. They can do things that they can accomplish. And they're putting time into something, and they have something to show for their time. That's what I think you're after with the older kids. Mm-hmm. Not that they can't just enjoy fun play type things, but things like even building a 1,000-piece puzzle, you have something to show for your time at the end of that time that you spent on that, figuring out a Rubik's Cube, you know, having, okay, this is a really, really good idea for that just popped into my head for this age group. Okay. Everybody get your pencil out and write this down, because it's really complicated. it is planning a party planning. This is a fabulous hobby. And whether you're a boy or girl, you can, you know, go through all the steps of what you have to do, from planning the list to making the invitations to figuring out the foods you're going to serve, the activities you're going to do. This is the activity that takes a little while to do, right? So you work on your party. You're going to have a Christmas party this time of year. In our house, we have an annual Christmas vacation movie party at our house. And the kids are all involved in planning this. And as I sit here and think of the things that they do, because we don't do video games and social media for them, these are the types of things that they get really jazzed about. They talk about it a lot. They're constantly thinking about who, you know, is going to come and what we're going to make. And every year it just gets more fun, Sue. And it's a family tradition, but it's for their friends. You know, it's a party for them. But don't you think party planning is a wonderful activity, because it, you know, it involves this gift of organization.
Right. It teaches life skills, yeah. You know, how to think from start to finish of what is needed. Now, I don't know how many people are having parties right now, mm-hmm. but even planning a party just for your immediate family and your bubble can be a beautiful opportunity for a child. I mean, it's like the meal creation.
Yes.
It's giving them a bit more responsibility as a teenager to be able to create what this looks like. And, you know, over the holidays, it's a great opportunity for more than one child to have the opportunity to do that. They can even create cards and invitations for the immediate family on, you know, some sort of paper that, you know, paper and crafts and things that are in front of them, not online.
Right.
Hobbies. No. Also, you reminded me of the hobbies of putting together a model, you know, or something that you use your hands and your mind to create and have that sense of accomplishment at the end.
And, you know, when COVID hit and we were all on lockdown, a lot of my friends were really struggling and saying, oh my gosh, what do we do now? And in our house, we were saying, oh my goodness, this is so wonderful. We have so much time to do all these things that we love to do that we normally don't have time to do. We saw it as such a gift of time, because my kids all have learned that time is our most precious gift, you know, and they really value how they spend their time. Another idea, and we got to wrap up here in just a second, but another idea for older kids, of course, is a job. I think that's a wonderful activity, whether, you know, it's just in the neighborhood or they're working at the grocery store. That's a wonderful way to fill their time with productive work and grit building activities like yard work and, you know, leaves this time of year. My boys are around the neighborhood bagging leaves for neighbors and making money doing that. But also, like you said, you talked about cooking, but I'm thinking about candy making and baking and giving those things as gifts. So finding things that your kids can make that won't be, you know, bad in a day, you know, things that keep a little bit. And when you were talking about the art supplies, the idea of the cookie decorating, of course, came to mind, because that's very artistic. And that's something that you can organize so it's not such a big production where just in the evening, maybe throw out some, you know, cookie decorating supplies and let them do that. But then to make some things that they can give away as gifts to the neighbors too.
Absolutely. We used to make 220 dozen cookies
every
year and package them in this beautiful cellophane with ribbons. And my kids were very much a part of that. And they were elaborate. You don't have to go that elaborate, but there's a lot of molds and things that you can get to make beautiful candy, or, you know, even just taking pretzels and dipping them in some sort of chocolate and then, you know, fancy sprinkles can be super fun for the kids. And again, that sense of pride and accomplishment in wrapping them and delivering them can be an enormous opportunity for our children to feel good about themselves.
And to feel connected to their village, which is ultimately our goal. Our goal is to get them reconnected and get their foundations really strong so they know where they come from, where their identity is, and where their compass is. And all these activities help that. Being on a screen does not help that at all. It doesn't build that at all.
For sure it doesn't. Yeah, absolutely.
So do you have any other final tip to share? I have one thing that my daughter, I just popped into my head that she shared that I want to share, but do you have any final tips?
I think one of the things is really collaborate with your kids. You know, it's amazing what brilliant things our kids come up with when we actually connect with them in this way to talk about things that the family can do or they can do that take them away from, you know, any kind of screen. And when we present it in a very positive fashion and talk with them, not at them, they may have some brilliant ideas that you've never thought of. Mm-hmm. One of the things my kids love to do all through their years with me was rearrange the furniture. So, you know, creating something new for the holiday in your child's room, perhaps, you know, or in a different room, and opening space in a new way can be so engaging for our children too. So that's just another little tidbit of something that we did.
Yeah, that's a wonderful idea. I tell parents when they're taking the video games away, maybe they're doing our Screen Strong Challenge, they're taking this detox, they're, you know, that that they should think about letting their kids paint their bedroom a new color, because we know from addiction research that when you keep the same environment, it's really hard to change your habits. So almost changing up their environment by painting their bedroom or switching bedrooms, you know, between siblings, and let them just totally get a new, fresh look. And that feels very accomplished when you do that. One of the most fun things that we've always enjoyed, and then just this last week we upgraded it, is our fire pit in the backyard. And so the boys went to the home store, they got a bunch of bricks. I mean, it didn't take any time, and they were with my brother, and they came home and built the most incredible fire pit. It really did not cost hardly anything, and they spent the whole day you know, planning it and doing it. And of course, that's something that in the evenings we can go out and enjoy that fire pit. This time of year is just wonderful. We've graduated from the little one now to a bigger one. But what I wanted to say that I thought was really a fascinating quote by my just newly graduated from college daughter, who was on the gymnastics team there, and she was actually on a full scholarship for her gymnastics. So she did very well and has been in gymnastics her whole life, which of course the gift of movement is very important, that our kids learn how to have exercise and movement and whatnot. But something she said to me the other day really hit home. And I want to leave this little comment maybe with our listeners. I don't want you to read too much into it, but she was sitting with me at the kitchen table and just thinking about her new job, and her life is very different now because she was in the gym doing very hard things. You know, that sport is very unforgiving and very hard. And she said, "Mom, I really need to think about what I can do now that is hard." She said, "I need to do something hard again." And I knew what she meant. She meant that she had put so much energy and purpose into her career with her gymnastics, and she really misses that. So she said, "I need to find something to do that's really hard again." And I just thought, wow, that is so cool. I love that she has that drive to do that. And she said, "You know, maybe I'm going to run a marathon. And I've never been a runner. And maybe I'm going to do that." And I thought, oh, I love the way she's thinking. And ultimately, Sue, you know, life is hard, right? So we have to teach our kids how to embrace that and how to find purposeful work in their play, as well as in their life work, as well as their school. We have to be okay with our kids doing hard things and finding a way to put down the screen and fill that downtime with other things can be hard, but it is worth it. It is totally worth it.
Absolutely. We should all be challenging ourselves. And I love that you shared that and that your daughter is thinking about that, because life is about challenging ourselves each and every day to learn new things about ourselves and the world around us. That's how we learn and grow.
Mm-hmm. And it's ultimately the most rewarding work on earth. And without it, we get sad, we get depressed, we get anxious, and we don't want to build that routine into our kids' lives. So thank you so much, Sue, for this wonderful conversation. I am so excited to share it and want to have you back when we want to brainstorm some more ideas about how to live a screen strong lifestyle. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor to be here with you guys.
Thank you. And for everyone, if you are not on our Screen Strong Families Facebook group, please join that private group. We have a lot of members. We have a lot of parents. Oh my goodness, there are so many good ideas in this group for families who are trying to reduce screen time and reverse all this crazy screen addiction that our kids are in. So go to our website, it's screenstrong.com. And again, the Facebook group is Screen Strong Families. And we also have a 7-day challenge that's free that you can sign up for. It's a Screen Strong Challenge, and that's found on our website as well. We'd love for you to do it for 30 days. That's our goal, is to help you detox your kids from all these screens. This is the perfect time of year to do it. You just heard an hour's worth of activities that they can do instead of getting on their video games and their phones. In fact, just give those cell phones, those smartphones, a big old vacation this Christmas. Why don't we just unplug them and take the battery out? And I don't know, let's just get rid of them and do some fun things with our family. So thank you so much for joining us. I hope you all enjoyed the show today. Remember that we have your back and we're here to help you. So until next time, stand up for your kids and stand out from the crowd and stay strong.